My boss refuses to pay me, so I get the state labor board involved and things get rough. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. Several years back, I went to work for a towing company. It's about all I know how to do other than paint cars, which is drastically affecting my health. The pay was pretty decent, but we had to share trucks, and the boss felt that he knew where we needed to sit in order to get the best calls. This is important for later. Several months in, I realized that I wasn't making the type of money that I should be making. So I took the opportunity while I was sitting in a parking lot one evening to start researching the laws pertaining to employees in similar positions. He was kind of a jerk, and the trucks had transponders so that he could see if we had them idling with the air conditioner on a hot day, or were idling with the heat on a cold day. He was always calling complaining about something if the wheels weren't turning. During my research, I discovered that if he was requiring us to sit in a certain parking lot, street, or any location of his choosing, then we were entitled to be paid an hourly wage, not just our commission. The technical term was engaged to wait. However, if he allowed us to roam freely out and about while we waited for calls, we were not entitled to hourly wages, and we were therefore considered waiting to be engaged. I never mentioned this to him, but I did start taking note of my time. Another month or so goes by, and he decided to start coming down on me for tiny little things. Things that ordinarily wouldn't even matter, such as I forgot a pop can in the cup holder. He actually had a screaming fit about that. At this point, I was tired of working there and had already found another job, so I decided it was time to put my plan into motion. I called him up, told him that we needed to have a conversation about my final wages, and that we could meet at his convenience. Upon entering the office, I laid out my argument, explained the state law, and told him that I expected to be paid for the hours that I was on the clock, but not freely allowed to roam looking for work, or able to do other things of my choosing. He told me in no uncertain terms that I would not be paid for that time, as that was agreed to upon my employment. I didn't bother to argue, as I had already planned the next step, so I took my final check and I left. The following Monday, I made a phone call to the state labor board where I laid out my case to them. Needless to say, they were very interested in what was going on. In the end, they came to review his employment records and speak to the driver still working. When he got the bill of what he had to pay us all, it was too much for him to afford. So he sold the trucks, his boat, and lot, and went out of business. I never got the money owed to me in full, only a fraction. But the satisfaction of knowing the law just a little bit better than he did and watching it all burn was pure bliss. You gotta pay your employees for their time. I understand that you want them at a certain spot because you think that that's a better location for when calls come in, but you're limiting what they're able to do in that time. I don't know how tow trucking works typically, but as far as I'm concerned, if you're making me be somewhere at a certain time for X amount of hours, I should be paid for those hours. Otherwise, if it's strictly commission-based, then that's what you judge it on. They should be able to do whatever they want in that time, and if they're not pulling in the numbers for you to justify having them on your team, then you let them go. But in a situation like this, I would think that, yeah, you gotta pay them for the time that they're giving you. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below. And don't forget to subscribe. My entitled coworker thinks that she can just quit when things don't go her way. But this time, I made sure she had to keep that promise. This happened years ago, but still makes me smile. I started working in a corporate office in a secretarial position for my first job after college. There were two older ladies who were also secretaries working in the office. One of them was just fine, but I spent most of my time sitting beside and working with Agnes. Agnes was quickly approaching retirement age, but wasn't going anywhere without a big push. This was in the days where we just started getting computers, and she was absolutely hopeless. She'd pull stuff like,
I can't answer the phone. I'm on the computer.
Multitasking was not in this woman's repertoire. She was super fussy and really annoying. If I ever came back from lunch 5 minutes late, she would exclaim loudly,
"Oh my God, there you are! I was wondering what had happened to you!"
Making sure the whole office knew I was late. Meanwhile, she was usually coming in the morning and often left early for various appointments. If I made a typo in a document, she would make sure the rest of the staff knew about it, loudly. She tended to pout when things didn't go her way, and she would quit her job when someone ticked her off, and then my boss's boss would talk her into staying. I'd heard about this tactic of hers, and one day, our boss did something that annoyed her, and she quit again. My boss's boss was away that day, so I had my chance. I quickly advertised and planned a big retirement party for her. It was a done deal by the end of the day. People were dropping by and congratulating her, and everyone looked forward to the party. At that point, I guess she figured it was too late to pull her usual shenanigans, and she actually retired. I told my boss to not bother replacing her, because it was damn easy to cover the little work she actually accomplished every day. This really is a kill 'em with kindness situation. You clearly don't like this woman, and the way to get her out of your life was to throw her a party. Who would have thought? I really do love how our original poster handled this, though. Rather than try and do something sneaky and get her in trouble or something like that, you just sat back and waited. All you had to do was wait for her to say those words, and you had a plan in action to make sure she had to stick to them. It's either that or risk public embarrassment, because she'd pretty much have to come out and say that, yeah, she never meant it, and honestly, never really does. It's just a manipulation strategy, which is not something that she's gonna say out loud to anyone. Entitled customer tells me they don't care whether my baby lives or dies. I was talking with another sales dad the other day at a scout cookout, swapping toughest customer stories, when this guy came up. Since it has a satisfying ending, I thought y'all might enjoy it. First off, I'm gonna be using some industry-specific jargon here, so just to break down what I'm talking about, here are a couple quick definitions. A spiff is an arbitrary cash bonus offered at management's discretion. A lot of the times this is used when you have a specific brand that you're trying to promote, and you'll get a little cash bonus for selling that specific brand's product. A pencil is a preliminary buyer's order used in negotiation. It delineates price list, discount, purchase price, trade value and payoff, and taxes and fees. A CPO is a certified pre-owned. If qualified by age, mileage, and ownership, it gets a much more thorough inspection and earns an extended warranty for passing. Now that we're through the boring stuff, on to the actual story. This happened about 5 years ago when I was selling cars, on a Saturday just before lunch. The dealership catered lunch on Saturdays, but unfortunately, I didn't get to eat it. I sold a car to my first customer of the day, which any car guy will tell you, if you can get one out before 11 on a Saturday, you should almost be mad if you don't get a hat trick. A hat trick being 3 sold in a day. Typically, hat tricks pay out an extra bonus. At my store, it was $150. I'd already gotten some free money in the morning meeting for a couple of perfect surveys, and my sale was the first one of the day for the store, which happened to be a spiff that day. So I'm riding high, already having put $500 in my pocket before noon, with a real shot at doubling it before they turn the lights out. It's gonna be a good day, I thought. I just finished stocking in my fresh trade and collecting my first sales spiff when the receptionist comes to my desk.
"Hey, original poster, you're really good with weird, angry, and weirdly angry customers, yeah?"
Oh, this is gonna be great. Yeah, I guess that's me. What have we got?
"That couple over there that looks like it's taking too long for the guy at Jimmy John's to make their sandwich."
I sigh, put on my sunny customer service face, and greet the couple. They're older, but not old. Probably mid-50s. They're aloof and condescending as I bring them to an empty desk. My desk was on the used side, and I offer them a coffee. They scoff and decline until they see the big fancy cappuccino machine. The wife looks at me expectantly as I sit down, inviting her to help herself, reassuring her that it's a very intuitive machine with several options, but I'll be happy to help if she has any problems. Hubby hands me a folder. Inside is a printout from our website.
"I'd like to purchase this truck, please, at the advertised price."
Excellent. Before we discuss rebates, let me double check that we still have the vehicle in stock. It'll only take a minute.
You don't know your own inventory? This is very unprofessional. Hey, honey, he says he probably doesn't have it in stock. Looks like we might have come all the way down here for nothing.
This never would have happened at Volvo. I can tell that this is going to be fun. I mindlessly apologize and explain that we have 18 salespeople and over 650 cars on the lot at any given time. We sell over 250 a month, so inventory management is literally a full-time job, as I check the key track and see the key is checked in, and politely excuse myself to pull the truck around. In retrospect, I wish I'd have paid more attention to the listing, as it would have saved some pain, but I just pulled the stock number, verified availability, and pulled it around. Alright, let's take a look. They follow me outside and I start my walk around.
This is the wrong truck.
This is the wrong truck. I told you we were asking for trouble trying to buy domestic.
I told you, honey, a Volvo won't pull the camper. This is what we need.
What do you mean? This is the truck from the listing you gave me.
No, it's not. The listing I gave you was for a white long bed King Ranch. This is a silver XLT. You know, I know that reading is hard, but you'd think that even a domestic car salesman would know his colors.
First of all, there's no such thing as a 30K King Ranch, and you clearly know that. Secondly, I don't appreciate being insulted. Clearly, there's been a mistake. Let's go back inside and we'll figure it out.
You have to honor your advertised price. It's the law. My wife is a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer and I will eat you alive. Look, there's no need to get hostile. I don't get paid unless you buy. So it's in my interest to work this out. I assume our web developer made a mistake with the pictures, but let me investigate and we'll go from there. As I suspected, every word of text on the listing pointed to an XLT, as did the window sticker link. The web guy had just gotten the pictures mixed up. I found the pictured truck, which had a sticker for more than 20K higher, with fewer rebates to boot. I printed both stickers and the fine print disclaimer at the bottom of every listing, and spent 20 plus minutes explaining and trying to talk sense and fielding a myriad of threats and insults. Things have gotten nasty, and I was ready to just let them go. But when I went to grab the stickers, the last thing I heard from the desk was,
"Don't you dare cut those jerks loose. Sell them a truck."
I take it straight to the GM at this point, who comes out, takes one look at these people, decides it's not worth it, and personally delivers a pencil, showing a real money 6K loss with the invoice to back it up. We're still like 17K apart, and they're holding ground, still threatening litigation despite knowing that they have no leg to stand on. On top of knowing that they were already stealing the truck that they wanted at the offered price. Our store was part of the third largest group in the world at the time, so we had lawyers too. We happened to have the exact truck that they were trying to buy on the used lot. One model year older, 21K-ish miles, CPO, and listed at $36,999. I flipped them to that one, and we moved to the used side. I show them the truck, and hubby is failing miserably at hiding his excitement by the end of the test drive. My GM had told me to call him before I presented a pencil, so I did. To my chagrin, he cut the nuts off it and had me present $32,999, about 1K north of rough trade via NADA, and 2.5K south of the next cheapest similar truck within 300 miles. Plus, it was certified, which adds about another 2K in value and warranty. They're still fixated on 30K. And here we pick up the conversation.
I don't care what the market says. I want to know what you paid for it, and then we'll negotiate an offset from there.
No, that's not something you get to know. You don't demand to know cost on anything else you buy. You could literally go to CarMax tomorrow and turn a small profit at our price. Even if you weren't stealing this truck, and you absolutely are, my time isn't free. We don't give a crap about you. We want a great price, and we're not there yet. Do better. You absolutely are at a great price, and given the abuse I've endured, you're out of your mind if you think I'm gonna budge 1 cent off my price. I have a baby at home. I know this next comment is going to sound embellished, but I swear to Jeebus, it's verbatim. I couldn't care less if your baby lives or dies. Take a thousand to offer. We're done here. What? You heard me. We're done. Get the heck out of my office. Now. No, I'm buying a truck.
No, you're not. I've been patient as heck, and you crossed the line. Get the heck out of my office, right now, before I lose it.
Ugh, typical.
Now!
They stood up, and I half-herded, half-shoved them out of my regular office and out of the building. I immediately got lit up by the desk managers, and I let them speak their piece. Then I told them what was said, and suddenly, we were a united front. I was shaking, I was so angry. So I was given a shot of desk whiskey and told to remain in the tower until the whiskey worked and I'd calm down. I was seething, so it took a good while. I was still there when the husband called back about 20 minutes later to complain about how he was treated, and he caught an earful from my manager. He still wanted the truck, and my manager still wanted to sell it. So he put the guy on hold and asked me,
I've got to sell the truck. What do you want me to do? I'll do the paperwork if you want, but you're still gonna have to deliver.
Nah, it's all right. Just tell him his price expired when he got himself tossed, and there will be no negotiations when he comes back. If he wants the truck, he'll pay what we ask. Don't tell him the price and mark it up $2,500.
This is way higher than it was before.
Yes, sir, it is. Sign here.
Why?
Jerk tax. Sign it or go home. He glared at me, and I stared into his eyes and didn't say a word for a good 30 seconds. Then he picked up the pen and signed. I remained cold but professional through delivery, and managed to treat him like any other customer I didn't particularly like with my sold follow-up. He remained a jerk every time I spoke with him, but he ended up inadvertently being my biggest source of referrals. Evidently, he told everyone he knew about me charging him a jerk tax, and he was such a notorious jerk that it made his circle want to buy from me. Over the next year, I sold 7 cars to people he knew. Apparently, everyone thinks this guy's a jerk.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're sitting at the negotiation table and you're gonna drop something like that and think the person's gonna give you a better deal? Heck no. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. This guy just drained the last little bit of patience that our original poster had. He was being very, very patient with them up until this point. But you're gonna drop something like that? Absolutely no. You're lucky you didn't walk out with a black eye. And I love how everybody close to the jerk supported our poster in this. I can just imagine the conversations they were having with each other.
Did you hear about that guy that charged Jerk a whole bunch of extra money as the jerk tax?
Dude, we gotta go meet this guy.
Who knows? Maybe if we're nice to him, he'll actually give us a discount.
Jerk building workers make a complete mess of my office. By the time I'm done with them, they're on their hands and knees scrubbing my carpet. I work alone in a small office in a public building that is undergoing some renovations while it's closed to the public. There's an office space in front of my office that is usually unoccupied. Think of an office space with a manager's office attached at the end, and I just rent the manager's office. Building managers were supposed to notify us if they ever intended to rent out the space in front of my office, so we could build a temporary wall or something so I didn't need to walk through someone else's office to get to mine. But I guess they thought that they didn't need to do this, because the builders are only there temporarily. Now, the space is occupied by the site office for construction. I'm slightly annoyed at building management for not notifying me of this, but I'm way more annoyed at the builders, because the space has turned into a dumping ground. To get to my office space, I have to walk past light fixtures, tool bags, bags, random chairs in a walkway, and a toilet bowl. I have to listen to builders talking crap while 12 of them sit in a room fit for 5 having lunch. It's like a teenager's bedroom, but instead of clothes and stale socks, the floor is covered in building materials and tools. I ask them to keep it clear, as it's the walkway to my office and not a storeroom. And they say sure, but basically roll their eyes at me and do nothing. So I took some pictures of the mess and reported it to building management. And 1 week later, they tidied up slightly and gave me a sassy,
"We cleaned up around here for you, mate. No need to thank us,"
as I walked in that morning. A few days later, and it was almost worse than it was before, to the point where I couldn't leave my office without moving 4 boxes of supplies out from directly in front of the door. I also hear them whispering about how I'm such a jerk and a stuck-up public servant. I'm private sector, but whatever. Cut to today. I go to step out to get a coffee, and before I open the door, I look through the window of the door to see someone's half-eaten spaghetti sitting on the floor right in front of the doorway. I lose my composure for a moment and say, "Screw it," open the door, and trip on the bowl of spaghetti, causing it to spray all over the room and the 2 builders in the room. Spaghetti gets on everything. Sauce on their computers, noodles in the toilet, it's in the carpet, and most impressively, all over the builders. They start to shout at me, but I get just as mad, saying, "Who the heck puts a bowl of spaghetti on the floor in front of a door?" I kind of snapped at this point and started lambasting them, which is very out of character for me. I told them, "This is an office, not a storeroom, and you're worse than my teenage nephew," and told them to clean up their crap or I'll start kicking everything aside that's in the path, delicate or not. They sheepishly say yes and I go get my coffee. When I return, no one is in the office and the mess is still on everything. I think they wipe the laptops down, but I don't care at this point, and retreat into my office and focus on my work. Fast forward a few hours and I get an email from the building management. I crack a huge smile as I read an email basically saying,
"The builders reported your conduct and had us come inspect the damage. However, we noticed the unacceptable amount of mess in the office space had not been cleared up from the last time we asked them to, and they admitted the food was placed on the floor in front of the doorway. So we expect them to clean up the mess, pay for everything, and place no blame on you in this case. If the mess comes back, call us directly, as they're on their last warning from a few other incidents in the building."
It was a longer and more official email, but you get the point. So now I'm occasionally looking through the window of the door while builders crawl around on their hands and knees, scrubbing spaghetti out of the carpet. I'm not proud of losing my cool and handling things the way I did, but I won't deny that it worked, and it felt pretty good. I mean, I don't know if you directly yelling at them got you anywhere. I'm sure it was very satisfying, but all it did was cause them to report you. Now, that did directly lead to them getting in trouble, which is kind of their own fault, though. Of course, they're gonna look at things from both sides and see that you guys have made more of a mess than ever before when there was an agreement that you needed to clean up. Honestly, these guys just sound like idiots. Don't lose your head over them, because you know what? They're not worth it. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything linked in the description.